This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Coach Jen here from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning show on the Horse Radio Network for July 26th, 2012, episode 453. Horses in the Morning is live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the summer, so today we bring you a highlight show from the Horse Radio Network. Sit back and enjoy episode 206 of the Eventing Radio Show as Samantha Clark and John Kyle take us through the final countdown to the start of the 2012 London Games. They cover every angle, interviewing competitors and grooms, a London-based equestrian, and a hopefully future Olympian. Even John's fashion frustrations are covered for the games. Now sit back and enjoy, as Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, replete with riotous reports from all things equine.
I'm Samantha Clark in sunny Gloucestershire, England.
And I'm John Kyle in London, England, where it's just far too warm at the moment. Welcome to the Eventing Radio Show.
How dare you, John? Everything is coming up roses. I'm so excited. I can hardly stand it. I feel like Christmas has come early.
Well, no, the really bad news is it's forced me to get my incredibly pasty white legs out in shorts today as I pack for the game. So that's a disappointment. There's various parts of southwest London are on some sort of terror alert now.
Sunglasses, orange alert. Well, before we go any further, we have a brief message from Glenn the Geek.
Glenn the Geek here, and thank you for listening to the Horse Radio Network family of shows. You have helped the Horse Radio Network grow into the largest radio network devoted to horse lovers around the world. Today, I wanted to take a minute to let you in on a new way to listen to the shows. You always could subscribe to our shows through iTunes and listen on your iPhone, iPod, or MP3 player. Now Apple has recognized what a big market podcasts have become and developed an app just for podcasts. With your Apple smart device like an iPhone, an iPod Touch, or an iPad, you can go to the App Store and search for Podcasts by Apple. Download the free app to your device and you're ready to get started. The next time you sync with iTunes, it will automatically add the podcast that you currently have in iTunes to your new library in the new app, and you'll find them all there with past episodes just all listed in there like they were in your iTunes account. But the beauty of this new app is that you can control the podcast right from the application. You can add new podcasts by using their search feature, and all the Horse Radio Network podcasts are in there. You can listen to the shows either by downloading them over your 3G or Wi-Fi connection. You don't have to do it through iTunes anymore. Or you can listen to them streaming without downloading them, as long as you have a 3G or a Wi-Fi connections. Now, that will count towards your data time if you have a maximum on your data plan, but you can listen to them streaming just like you would any streaming radio station now. We have added a page to all the show websites that describes this new app in case you're having trouble with it. Give it a try. There is a way that you have to finagle it to automatically download if you want them to automatically download the shows. So we put that on this page we put on the website. Go to horseradionetwork.com. We've also listed there several apps that are available for Droid phones for listening to our podcasts. And don't forget, if you are an iPhone or an iPod user, you can actually find our shows at the Hallway Feeds app. Just go to Hallway Feeds in the App Store, download it, and you'll see the top thing right there is listening to our shows, and that is by streaming, but you can hear all the podcasts that way. And one reminder, if you search for Horse Radio Network in the podcast app, you'll find a Horse Radio Network feed that is all of our shows combined into one, so you don't have to subscribe to them separately. You can find them all in one place at the Horse Radio Network Master Feed. And if you have a business looking to get the word out to the equine community, advertising with the Horse Radio Network is affordable and effective, and it's the way to do it. Learn why so many companies have been advertising with us for years. Visit horseradionetwork.com to request more information on advertising with the voice of the horse world, the Horse Radio Network. Thanks, everyone, and back to your regularly scheduled shows.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn. That's very useful to know. And also we have some housekeeping. We are very sad news as we get closer. Let's hope we don't have too many more messages like this. Shane Rose and Taurus are out of the Australian team after an injury to Taurus. And Megan Jones and Kirby Park all of a sudden will take their place.
I thought Shane, they dealt with it very well. They were trying to manage it within training. And then they had to make that terrible decision just a couple of days ago. And the Australians made Shane go through a whole press conference process where he had to talk about how disappointed he was. I thought it was one of those news stories that could have written itself without putting the poor guy through that, but he dealt with it so well.
It in a Twitter, but maybe because he was, so eloquent and did handle it so well. Maybe that's why they put him up there, because what a wonderful spokesman. And I think, oh, yes, your heart bleeds for him, and no one wants to see anyone go through that, but he did handle it beautifully.
Another bit, we're not totally au fait with the end of this story yet, but South Africa have been another nation that have gone through arbitration over their selection. They initially selected Paul Hart, who was part of their team at the World Equestrian Games in 2010, and Alexander Pieternel, who's based here in the UK, appealed the South African individual selection to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, Samantha, and we understand now that the court found in Alexander's favour. And the South Africans, not wishing to change their selection, have decided that, as we speak, they won't be taking up their place at the Games at all.
I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that seems like cutting off your nose to spite your face, but I think we need to find out more before we comment on that more.
Absolutely. I mean, it's difficult to know. We've heard an awful lot more about this sort of thing during these Games, but games on a four-year cycle, you've only got to look a couple of games back for things to look very old-fashioned. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got a lot more web access to things now. So I don't know if we're just finding out more things than have traditionally gone on. It doesn't feel like this is a more contentious Games than usual.
And you're packing and getting ready to go, John.
Yeah, I do not know how I'm going to get all the stuff I've got lying around this and several other rooms to A, North London, and then daily to Greenwich. But it has to be done. I've got about a rainforest worth of paper and bios in case I'm not allowed to have my computer in the site, which is at current. That's a possibility. And then I need to find some clothes to wear as well, and probably some suntan lotion. And of course, I can't wear any branded clothing. So, you know, that throws out all the old event T-shirts and whatnot.
Well, I know that I've been enjoying everyone, all the riders' tweets, the grooms' tweets, all the Facebook updates and the pictures. And, everyone else has been in the same boat trying to cram everything into trunks and get them to Greenwich too. We're going to hear from Bit of Britain. Then after that, we're going to hear from our Jamaican equestrian, Samantha Albert.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here. And I'm here with Cassie from Bit of Britain with the Eventing Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Cassie?
Well, Glenn, tack cleaning is a chore that we horse people love to hate. At least that's how I see it anyway.
I'm with you.
The new Moss Goat's Milk Saddle Soap, you can make cleaning your tack into a lot less of a chore. It's a quality saddle soap that comes in three different scents: vanilla bean, citrus basil, and tea rose. Moss's Goat's Milk Saddle Soap does a great job cutting through grime on all types of tack without leaving a greasy residue. And the scents are refreshing without being too strong. We've actually worked with advanced level event rider Sharon White, and she loves Moss products and uses them on her personal horses.
And they smell, your tack will smell good after.
Exactly. And in fact, the reaction among a bit of Britain customers to the Moss saddle soap was so positive that the line was expanded into a leather care spray, leather laundry wash, grooming wipes, and a deodorizing mist spray. We've had great reaction to the deodorizing mist to use as a helmet deodorizer after these hot summer rides. And you can also visit Bit of Britain's YouTube channel to learn how Sharon White uses Moss grooming wipes to make quarter marks.
Well, that's terrific. This is the Moss line of products. It's M-O-S-S. Just go to bitofbritain.com and search for Moss, M-O-S-S, and you'll find their line of products. And the one we're talking about today is the Moss Goat's Milk Saddle Soap at bitofbritain.com.
Well, thank you, as always, to Bit of Britain. And without further ado, let's hear from Samantha Albert. When did you start riding for Jamaica?
I've ridden for Jamaica all my life. I grew up in Jamaica, so I started riding when I lived out there. And then I came over in the early... Well, it first started where we had eventing in Jamaica, and they used to bring out in November every year. It was like a end-of-season thing for all the other riders. So they used to bring a team from America and UK. So Ian Stark, Lorna Clark, that sort of gang used to come out, and Karen O'Connor, David O'Connor, who else used to come? Mike Plum, like a load of riders. And for us to be able to compete in the international event, you had to loan your horses. But I was too young, so they said that I had to lend my horses, but I was too young to ride. So after a couple of years, I said, I'm not lending my horses anymore unless I can ride. So I think it was about 13 when I was first allowed to ride on the international team. And they would pair one international rider with three Jamaicans. And then that rider would train the three riders for a week. And then we'd do an event at the end of it, and that would be their team kind of thing. So it was, that was my sort of first introduction to eventing. And then Judy Bradwell was out there 1 year and said to my mum, you know, Sam's a bit wasted out here. If she ever wants to come to England, she's most welcome to come and stay. So when I was 14, I came over and spent the summer here and loved it, and begged my dad that when I finished school, could I come to England and ride? And so between my dad and myself and Judy, we found Step Ahead, which was my first horse, and bought him. And then I came, finished school, came over and had 3 years over, well, that my dad paid for. But by the time it got to the 3 years, I had three horses. I had left Judy's, I was at Jill Watson's, and my dad called and said, do you know what happens next week? And I was like, no, I don't know what at all. He goes, the money stops. And I was like, oh. I had three horses, I was based at Jill's, lived in a flat, I was having the most amazing time of my life, and it was like, oh dear, now what do I do? So I worked for Jill for the rest of that year, and then Sarah Daly, Sarah Wardell, she rides for Ireland. We started a yard together in Cheshire. So we sort of started, we did hunters in the winter, we did anything. We bought horses, we broke them, brought them on, sold them. We did a lot of teaching. And that's how I sort of started my business, which is pretty much just buying and selling and doing a lot of teaching. So I've been doing it since sort of the early 90s, really.
And riding for the Olympics, so this won't be your first Olympics?
No, I rode in Beijing as well, so which was fantastic. It was really, really good. So, I went on, it was my ex-mother-in-law, Brett, before I do it, and I had broken her producer, and then I sold her as a five-year-old, and I was going through a bad time with my, obviously, Dag and I were splitting up, and I wanted something for myself, and the girl, I'd kept in touch with the girl who had bought Furless, and so she rang me and said, listen, I got to sell her, I can't ride her, can't even jump a cross pole on her anymore. So I bought her back, and we sort of did five novices, and she was in the top three, and then she went intermediate, she was placed, went two-star, three-star, was placed all the way through. And it was just like putting on an old glove. We sort of gelled straight away, and she took me to the Worlds in Aachen, she took me to the Pan American Games, to the Olympics, everything. And if you look at her or saw her jump, you would never think she would be up to anything, but she just had a huge heart. And it was lovely to do it on a horse that I'd sort of produced from a baby and had to sell her because she belonged to my mother-in-law at the time. So it was brilliant to
have
her back.
That's like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And that must have been nice as well. I mean, I think the Beijing, I know you had a lot of quarantine to do and to get away and just to concentrate on that for once. And I don't know how you managed to do all this. With you have two sons who are what 10 and 12
10 and 12 yes, yeah, but it has been, I mean, for Beijing obviously I split up just a couple of years before that, so it was, that was my focus, I had to get to the Olympics, that's what kept me going. And then after the Olympics in Beijing I said, that's it, I'm going to retire, but it didn't quite go as well as I thought it would go. And I really wanted to go, do, you know, leave on a high note. So I thought, no, I'll keep going. It's in London. I'll keep going. And I had Squirt, who is lovely. He was only six at the time. He's seven at the time for Beijing. And so I thought, well, I've got a really good horse. I might as well keep going. So that's what has sort of, he kept me going. And then the end of, he didn't have a very good year last year. And so in November time, I spoke to Tina Cook if she had anything I could lease. I'd asked lots of riders and she said, yes, I've got Danny Carrigdove. So I leased him from the owners. And so I've had him since the end of November. So it's been sort of a bit of a steep learning curve. I've never ridden anyone else's advanced horses. I've only produced my own. So it's a bit of a shock to get on something and just, literally my first run was Ballandennis, which was our qualifier. I didn't have a prep run. I only could cross country school once because it was so wet.
Wow.
So it was literally throwing us in at the deep end.
And he's going to the Olympics, touchwood. Yeah. I mean, you'll do dressage and show jumping at Gatcombe this weekend.
I was supposed to run him. My last run was going to be Barbary, but he had a bruised foot, so I couldn't risk running him. I mean, he was sound, but he had missed some work and everything, so we just didn't get there. So we're going to go to Gatcombe and do dressage and show jumping and then go. But I've only done, I've done Ballandennis, two OIs, Belton and Houghton.
How is it, because you're the sole Jamaican equestrian, I imagine you get to pretty much make your own schedule. So in this instance, it works for you because you've had a pretty light preparation. Yeah. But on the other, I mean, it must be hard being on your own.
It is very hard. I mean, it's, everyone else has teammates that they can talk to and, you know, they can throw ideas back and it's competitive. You know, I made a decision at Bramham not to run him because I was a little bit worried about his foot. He pulled the shoe off at Houghton. He ran brilliantly at Houghton and pulled the shoe off. And I was just a little bit sceptical about running him at Bramham because if he had pulled the shoe off again, I thought, and then just after Bramham is when he went very lame with a bruised foot. So luckily I didn't run him, or we might not, we would have been even further behind we are now. But it, it's great in that I can do what I want as long as I'm qualified, and I'm very lucky. I went to, well, Bramham, Houghton, and the atmosphere was horrendous with all the teams just at loggerheads, really trying to get their, you know, show the selectors that they're should be on the team.
Yeah.
But I am lucky. It's hard at the actual championships. It's quite hard because I am literally on my own. A lot of the other countries have show jumpers or dressage riders, so there is a bit of a network. But I don't have anyone. I'm the only equestrian rider for Jamaica.
What about the Olympics? Do you hang out with any other Jamaican athletes?
Yeah, no, I know most of them. So it's it will be good. It will be great.
And
so,
what about funding? Do they help you out at all?
They have, when I wanted to lease Danny, they said, oh yeah, go ahead, no problem, we'll pay for it, we'll help you, everything. And they said last week that some money might come through. And I just went to the bank this morning and nothing's come through yet. But hopefully some money might come through, but not enough to cover what it's cost. But it's it's a help. But the same thing for Beijing, they raised a lot of money at home. Well, my mum did fundraisers, friends did fundraisers and raised money. And the JOA and the Sports Development Fund did provide some money as well, but nothing to what it cost to go. So it is, that's the other reason why after London I'm going to take a back seat, because I've got...
What?
No, I've had enough.
But you have that nice horse Squirt, what's his real name?
Squirt, that's his real name, that's it. That's all.
But he'll come back.
He'll come back.
And that won't tempt you to try again?
No.
For France 2014?
No, I've had an amazing life doing it and I've met so many fantastic people, but it's got to the point now where there's other things I'd like to do, and it's just time consuming, and every penny I earn goes into the horses, and I've got two boys now that sort of want to do other things.
So. One of them rides though.
Yeah, they both are really keen. I actually, I've promised Toby, my youngest, that after the Olympics I'll take him to Ireland to find him a pony, because he only rides the pony I've got in to teach. I've got an old pony that I teach on, and yesterday he jumped and he was so proud of himself because he jumped over the barrels, which Mabel doesn't usually jump more than sort of 30 centimetres, but he cranked her up and got her to jump over the barrels. So he's adamant, he wants a pony now as well. So, and I enjoy it, I love teaching and I love helping the kids. I don't And I don't really want to be a pony club mother going around every weekend following my kids after I've just given up having done it for 22 years. I don't want to have to spend the next 22 years following them around. But they're both very sporty. So I do love that they ride, but I wouldn't want them to do it as a career, I don't think.
Do your parents still live in Jamaica?
My mum lives in Jamaica. My dad lives in Canada.
Do you get back to Jamaica much?
Yes, I do. I try 2 or 3 times a year. I haven't been this year, obviously, because I've been gearing up to London, but I will get over after the Olympics.
You must miss it, especially summers like this.
Yes, the weather. Well, I was thinking, driving back today, when I saw your tweet and it said, bring on sunshine, and I thought, it's okay for everybody who's here, but for when those Jamaicans arrive, they'll be wrapped up in their winter woolies because this is freezing for them. I mean, even though it's not that bad, but it will be really cold for them. And I think they're going to have to acclimatise to it because they've been running at home, that's all. And it's a big difference from that to here, the temperature.
Will you stay here? I mean, if you did give up riding, England is your home?
Yeah, England is my home. I was thinking about going back, but with the kids and the education, it's much better for them to be in England. So I would love to, my dream is to build up the riding a bit more in Jamaica, because it's when we grew up, everybody rode, all my friends rode, and we used to have such a fantastic time, and it slowly died down. And whenever I go out, I do clinics and I teach, and there's a huge turnout, but it just needs, the problem now is that they don't have anyone producing the horses. So they do import some from America, but it's the same anywhere. The ones that they import are not suitable. They shouldn't have brought them in. So I am trying to organise to do, which is what I used to do when I was sort of between the age of 11 and 15. I would get horses off the track when they were culled off the racetrack. I would get them and produce them as either riding horses, polo ponies, trekking horses, anything. And I'd like to try and build that back up in Jamaica. So there's something for the children to get on. They don't do ponies in Jamaica. They go straight on horses. All the sort of children get straight on the horses.
And is it more of an eventing scene there or show scene?
No, they've got one in Bogwalk. They have one cross-country course now. And it's not an event. It's just a schooling facility. So they wouldn't be... I mean, they do show jump quite a lot, and they go around to all the islands, and they do this FEI Samsung dressage and show jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very keen, and there's a lot of interest in it. But again, it needs some other blood in there to get it going again. And I would love to try and help them get it going.
And you still prefer thoroughbreds?
Yeah, yeah. I've always had thoroughbreds, and then obviously with the sport slightly changing, I went to warm bloods, and Squirt is an amazing horse, but if he has a pinprick on him, it's disaster, and he lies down and puts his leg up in the air. Well, you know, the thoroughbred are just so much tougher, and they just grit their teeth and carry on. That's one part of it, but you know, they just seem to have a much tougher way of going, and I think the sport suits a thoroughbred just as much as a warm blood now. I don't think there's much difference in it, really.
And you rode a different horse at the test event last year, but you've since sold that horse too. What was that?
Yeah, I've bought Dex Culture Couture in June last year as a backup to go to the Olympics. And he had only done novices, and I did one event to him. Squirt was supposed to go to the test event. And the week before, he cut himself on the walker. Only a tiny little cut, but again, that was it. He couldn't possibly move. So I literally had done a Salperton Intermediate on Deck, so I pulled him out and took him to Greenwich, and he was amazing. He's a lovely, lovely horse, but he struggled a little bit in the dressage. And even after the test event, he was supposed to go to the Pan American Games, and I went out to Buffalo, and then we were flying on to Mexico from Buffalo, and he picked up a virus in Buffalo. So I couldn't take him to the Pan Am Games.
Having ridden in the test event, how will this Olympics compare to Beijing or any other of the championships that you've ridden?
It's nice in that we're in one spot. We don't have to truck for the cross country. I think that's the biggest bonus. The cross country course in in Hong Kong was fantastic. I mean, the facilities were great. Nobody could knock the facilities. Everybody was worried about the heat, and it was absolutely fine. Well, I didn't find it was a problem at all. The site at Greenwich is very, very tight. Not only just the... Everybody's talking about the cross-country is very tight and twisty, but the whole site is tight. You know, there's nowhere to hack them. I think they've given us one canter strip where I think we can go up to where the start of cross-country is. But it's going to be, you know, a lot of the times when the horses, they are on edge, they're very fit, they're in a stable, and you just want to take them, like a badminton, take them for a stroll in the park. You can't do that. There just isn't the space to do it. So I don't know how Danny's going to react to all of that. He is quite a high-strung type of horse. He is thoroughbred, but I think once he gets in there, it will be fine. But again, in Hong Kong, we were there, you know, 8-9 days before. Here we're going in 3 days before we start, so we'll probably give them the last gallop before we go in and everything. So there won't be that much to do.
Will your parents be there?
Yeah.
And your boys?
Yeah, my boys and my sisters are coming, and all the family is coming.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck. Thank you so much for talking to
us. No problem.
And we'll be cheering too.
Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offers supplements designed to target specific problems that are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against oversupplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and a money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
Well, thank you to Samantha Albert. All the best to her at the Games, and of course also to Kentucky Performance Products, who we heard from at the end of that interview as well. I know about this because my mum is just back from it. The huge festival that is the North American Junior and Young Rider Championships on your back porch, Samantha, in the horse park at Kentucky. I know from commentating at Red Hills that there are a lot of those young people who are former North American Junior or Young Rider champions. They stay in the system, they're coming up, they're riding at advanced, they're riding at 2 and 3 star. I don't know how many of the Olympians and the sort of the core high performance team in Canada and America would have been through that grounding.
You know, several of them. I think Joni Morris texted that perhaps four of the six. I don't remember, and I will find out and put it on our Facebook page, because it's the majority of the team that are in Greenwich right now came through the Young Rider program and were at the championships at some point in their lives. So that's an exciting little tidbit. And we were so happy to follow Shannon Quigley, who's kept us updated via our Facebook page. And she rode her off-the-track thoroughbred. She's only 18 years old. She got Frank 4 years ago as a racehorse off the track. She's brought him up herself. And, it was just great to catch up with her. She finished on her dressage score and finished 16th after coming 36, climbed up 20 places. And let's talk to her. Well, Shannon, welcome to the Eventing Radio Show, and thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations on a super weekend at the North American Junior Young Rider Championships.
Thank you.
First of all, let's introduce you to our audience. How old are you, Shannon?
I'm 18.
And was this your first trip to the championships?
No, this is my second.
Okay. And your sister, your older sister, went before you, is that right?
Yeah, she went in 2009, 2 years before I went for the first time.
And did you groom for her then?
No, I didn't go with her that year. I went and groomed for a friend of mine the year after.
So you weren't completely new to it at all. And then you rode... When did you ride last year?
Yeah, I rode last year.
Okay, let's learn a little bit more about your horse, Frank. Tell us about him.
Frank's an 8-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred. I've had him for about 4 years, and I got him from Jeannie Clark, who got him off the track, and he knew very little when I got him. I took him, like, to his first ever event and everything like that, and we did, I think we started going to him at the end of last season, and then we did our first one star at Bromont this past June. So I think being here is kind of unexpected. Like, no, we didn't really plan on him coming to championships this year. It just kind of happened, which is really cool.
Yeah. And so when you were a 14-year-old and you got a 4-year-old off the track thoroughbred.
Yeah.
And now here you are 4 years later doing double clear. I'm going to spoiler alert. I'm going to say you did two double clears around the one star junior championships.
Yeah.
That's quite an achievement. You must feel very proud.
Yeah. I'm really pleased with, I think, how we've come along, like, together. I started going prelim on a more experienced horse the year before I got Frank. So I had a little experience at the level, but not much. And it's just kind of cool that we've gotten to learn together and become more experienced.
And everything's good now. Frank's fine and you're fine. Not too exhausted.
No, I just took him out for a walk and he seemed really happy. He dragged me around the steeplechase course a while.
Okay.
Grass, so.
And you have had quite a lot of help. You've combined going to college with him with, you kept him with Sinead. You were training with Sinead Halpin?
Yeah, he went to her in full training for a couple months, and I went out for some lessons. And then he went to Florida with her. And I went, I think on my spring break from school, I went down and spent the week in Florida riding. And then Frank came home with me, and I kept him in a barn near my school and kept training with Sinead. She was really nice and really helpful. I think she's done a lot to help me and Frank this past year. So I'm really grateful to her for that and for my parents also, like, giving me the opportunity to work with her.
What was it like? I mean, we're talking now, you know, at the height of the sort of Olympic fever. And so many,
yeah.
So many of the American, North American Olympians started off in young riders and juniors and did the championships themselves. What was it like riding for a team and having to qualify at Bromont and having to go through all the selection processes and do everything that Olympic riders do and that team members have to do and do all that? Did that add extra pressure? Was that exciting? How did you cope with all that when you got to Kentucky?
I think it's really exciting. It's really cool, like, in the sport to have someone or have people to share your experience with. And, like, I got to meet 5 really great other riders who were doing the same exact thing that I was doing, and we got to spend time together and, like, talk about our horses and our experience and, like, help each other through, like, when things were harder or, like, celebrate together when things weren't really well. So I think it's definitely a new experience. Being on a team, it's, like, unusual in the eventing world. I think I understand a lot more, like, what the Olympic riders are going through, because the selection process and the qualifying and everything can be stressful, because you're worried about, like, getting a certain score or, like, getting picked or something. But once you manage to do it, it's a lot of fun.
And obviously, Sinead, your trainer of the last year, is over in England. She's reserved for the Olympics. So you have a team trainer, Mickey Kuchter. And what was that like, changing trainers at the last minute and working with someone new and training alongside your team members?
I think it was a little strange, like, having to switch trainers. But Mickey was great. She spent a lot of time with me and Frank. Her farm isn't too far from my house, so I got to go out there a couple of times for some, like, extra lessons with her. And she was just, like fabulous this weekend. I think helping everyone cope with like the stress of being at a big competition, and I think she really helped like every team member, and me and Frank especially. My dressage warm up, it was starting to thunderstorm, and I started getting like really worried that the thunder was gonna like make him upset, and she did a really good job of like calming me down and like telling me not to worry about that and just worry about what I was doing for my ride.
Good.
So I think she did a great job.
Who picked out the trot up outfits? You sent us a picture which you put on our Facebook page, and it's beautiful. You all looked so great. Who picked that out?
Our first jog outfit was picked out with Nancy Marks. She's one of our Young Rider co-coordinators. And she picked out, like, she had the skirt she had bought for her daughter, Amanda. And she thought they'd make a nice jog outfit. So she picked out that one. And then our second outfit, when we were at training camp, all six of the riders went out shopping together, and we picked out that outfit together.
Well, we didn't get a picture of the second. You might have to send us a photo of that. But I can't imagine six girls going out and agreeing on the same outfit. That shows team spirit. And what are some of the other fun things that you do all together at Young Riders and Junior Championships?
Well, this year we all stayed. The area got us two campers in the campground, and all the riders and grooms stayed together there. So we got to spend a lot of time together, like, in the evenings. We had, like, a barbecue and everything at the campground. So we all got to spend time together there. And just, like, around the barn and everything. Like, everyone's doing the same thing for the whole week. So everybody just, like, helps each other out a lot and spend a lot of time together just, like, hanging out.
Now you've got two championships under your belt. What are your ambitions long term for your eventing?
I think I'd like to keep doing it as a sport. I don't think I want to go professional or anything, but I definitely like to keep it a part of my life. I'm hoping to maybe bring Frank back here for the two-star 1 year. If it works out. So I'm hoping to move up to intermediate soon, hopefully like next spring. See where it goes from there.
Yeah. It sounds like his jumping is pretty phenomenal. Is dressage his slightly weaker phase?
A little bit. I think he's still really young, so he gets a little nervous when it's time to do dressage. And he's not very strong in that phase yet, but he's definitely coming along great. Sinead's helped him out a ton with the dressage. So hopefully he'll get there soon as he gets a little bit older.
And does your sister still event?
Yeah, she has a young horse right now that she's been working with. He's a 5-year-old off the track thoroughbred. She'll be taking him to his first event in a couple of weeks at Millbrook, a beginner novice. And she's been riding the horse I took to championships last year. She's been riding him for me while I've been here in Kentucky and now at home.
Good. Well, it sounds like quite a dynasty. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. I'm so glad it all went well.
Thank you, Samantha.
All Draper products are made in the USA and contain Salient. Salient encourages not only the alleviation of pain and other negative symptoms, but an actual improvement of the body's natural systems. Clinical studies have shown that Salient relieves pain, increases comfort, and aids in healing by increasing oxygen levels and helping to regulate body temperature in you and your horse. From knee, elbow, and back braces for you to coolers, sheets, pads, boots, and wraps for your horse. See all the products for humans, dogs, and horses at DraperTherapies.com. Find out why riders all across the world are turning to Draper Therapies at DraperTherapies.com. And like them on Facebook, just search for Draper Therapies.
Our thanks and congratulations to Shannon on her week at the North American Junior Young Riders Championships. It just looks, every year I look at some of the coverage on it on EN and other places and on Facebook, of course, it just looks like so much fun. They decorate their golf carts, they work as area teams, and they dress, you know, in team clothing for the trot-ups and stuff. And it comes back to what I was saying about the Olympics last week, Samantha, about working as a unit and having fun as a unit is going to put you closer to the podium. Just that discipline of working within a team and that camaraderie, particularly in what I think was a particularly hot week in Lexington. But it must have just been great fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And thanks to Draper Therapies and thanks to Shannon again. It was lovely to speak to her. And we'll be keeping our eye on her and hopefully have her again soon. Well, the fun doesn't stop here. It is our Olympic edition. So I was lucky enough to catch up with Emma Ford before she left for Greenwich. She is head girl to Philip Dutton. She's been with him for the last 7 years. And I caught up with her quickly before she left to find out how you prepare two horses for the Olympic Games, not just one. Emma, welcome to the Eventing Radio Show, and thank you so much for joining us. And it's a great time for you. Let's introduce you properly. You are Philip Dutton's groom. What is your official title? Are you head girl? Are you groom? What do you like to call yourself?
I think head girl.
Okay.
Would be a good title.
How long have you been with Philip for?
I've actually been with him for 7 years now, since 2005, August 2005.
And how many Olympics have you been to?
This is actually only my second Olympics. So.
And of course, we should explain, although Philip is originally Australian and you are originally English, you do work in America.
That's right. That's right. Got all the three countries going for me.
How did you come to work for Philip? And tell us a little bit about that.
I had actually been over in the States since 1998. I'd been working for a lady in Boston called Adrienne Iorio. And she actually got me on the international eventing bug when I shipped a horse over to Blenheim for her and did my first international event. And that sort of sparked, I quite like this. I want to travel more with the horses. And in 2005, I knew Philip was looking for another groom because his long-term groom, Colby, had left. And she was good friends of mine, and she encouraged me to take up the position. And I haven't looked back since, really. So.
And the position with Philip must be...
That's how I thought.
Yeah. The position with Philip must be quite an unusual one because it's, you know, he has such a high volume of horses, he has such a high volume of pupils coming in and out. And plus, it's such a high standard, you know, every day, day in, day out. And you must learn such an awful lot and bring so much to the table as well.
Yes, originally when I moved in, it was a very big eye-opener. I'm someone who likes to do everything myself. And if, you know, something goes wrong, then only I have myself to blame. So obviously when I first started with Philip, that was something that wasn't going to happen. There's just too many horses in the system for me to have my eyes on every day. So over the years, I had to learn to delegate and, you know, make sure that other pupils had their responsibilities, and I had to trust them that they're going to do what I ask them to do when I'm not on the farm.
Yeah.
And that was a tough thing for me to do because, like I say, I'm so much of a hands-on person. I'm in it for the love of the horses, and, you know, it matters to me a lot of how they're obviously taken care of.
Yeah. How does it work day to day? Do you have set horses that you look after that are your horses, or do you switch the roster weekly? Or?
I basically arranged the barn so that obviously we have anywhere between 30 to 50 horses depending on time of the year and season, and basically they get split up into a grooming list. I take care of Philip's top horses depending on what they're aiming at for that, you know, that season, and then the rest gets split between the working group, the working students to be taken care of. And then obviously I entrust them on, they come to me if there's any problems with the horses, and then I take it to the correct person if, you know, more needs to be done. But everybody is, you know, Philip's very good about, he wants everybody to learn everything. So everybody has to do everything. Like, we all muck in the morning, we all turn out horses, feet. You know, I'm in charge of the overall barn and making sure everything happens. But the actual taking care of the horses, I do is plot ones, and then, you know, I entrust it to the working students to make sure the other ones get taken care of as well.
My mind's still reeling. 30 to 50 horses, that is a huge operation. Let's talk a little bit about the two that you have with you now in England. The Mystery Whisper, who's something of a mystery horse, just came over from Australia this year. Tell us a little bit about them, please.
Yeah, he came to Phillips in December. Basically, Phillips had gone over to Australia to look for horses for Arden Wilderson, who owns him. And Heath Ryan had bred the horse and really wanted him to go to the Olympics. And basically, between the Wildersons and Heath, they made an arrangement that Philip would get the horse and aim him at the Olympics. And obviously, that would benefit Arden anyway in the long run. And I mean, it's been a bit of a fairy tale since we've had the horse. He is an absolute dream to take care of. I was originally told when we first got him, like, I actually flew over to Los Angeles to fly him back in because we were told he wasn't a very good shipper and the Wildersons wanted someone they knew to come back with them. And he's actually been a pretty great horse. Other horses of Phillips that are high, they've sort of been had attitude issues but that you put up with because they're so talented. But this one, he's a real sweetheart. He loves being just having two, just him and Happy with his, you know, by themselves, rather than being in back at home in the big barn. And he's just a pleasure to work with.
We had Jessica and Tiffany on, who were at the venting camp with you. And they showed us pictures and talked about how nice it was to hang out and to pat him. And they said how nice he was.
Yes, yeah. And he actually, it was funny because obviously the year of the Olympics, like, Philip does get a lot of interviews. And I think we had like two TV crews come and they obviously want to, you know, hang out with the horse. And you never really know how they're going to react. And he was just a poser, basically. He absolutely loved all the cameras and was like, yeah, this is right. It's all about me. So, yeah, it's nice. It's exciting. He's definitely come out of his shell. He was definitely shell-shocked from coming over. Any time you bring a horse over from Australia, you worry about how they're going to settle in, and it normally takes a year for them to, like, for their coats to change, for them to change over to the grain, the footing, and so forth. So we're very cautious about just general care, and he's actually taken to it very well. So we're very, very exciting, fingers crossed.
Good. And this is completely different for you, coming over, sort of a homecoming a little bit, coming back to England to do the London Olympics, and also coming back with two horses instead of one. Does Mighty Nice, will he stay at the training camp while you move into Greenwich with Mystery Whisper, or how does that work?
It's actually still all up in the air because he still considers an alternate in case something the worst should happen. He will probably stay with a couple of the other horses, the alternate horses, and their grooms will take care of him. He is, however, going to fly back with us in August, and being only eight, it didn't really want to run him at the early, so we're aiming him at the Kalo 3-star instead.
So what is it like comparing going to Hong Kong 4 years ago with one horse to coming back to England now with two horses and doing it this way?
The barn with Hong Kong was, we did fly into England and we had to quarantine, and there were a lot of regulations, like where stabling was, what we had to wear. We had to change clothing, we had to change shoes, we had to disinfect every time we went in. So it was very, very regimented, and the grooms actually were staying in caravans on site, and it wasn't far from town, but it wasn't easy to get around with the grooms. So I definitely say we've had much more fun this time. We're obviously not as regimented because we're not officially in a quarantine. So we've been allowed to go out and enjoy ourselves and go to the pub. So I definitely think this time around it's been nicer for the horses. It's been better for socially, mentally, for the riders and grooms as well.
Yeah, and are you looking forward to getting to London?
I am. I always say I am very, you never want to jinx yourself because until that first jog happens, you know. But yes, honestly, I'm very excited to be there again. And with this horse, I mean, you know, again, don't want to jinx myself, but we've got a wonderful opportunity with him. And I just hope we get the chance to make the most of it.
What is the hardest part about grooming at a big championship like this, do you think?
Keeping the stress level low for the horses, because obviously most of the horses are used to an environment where, you know, they're one of a number being taken care of, so they're not used to having, you know, you don't want to try to over coddle them.
Yeah.
And you'd be around them all the time. You know, they've got to rest. They're still horses at the end of the day. They've still got to rest, and there's times when they don't want to look at your face and get brushed again. So I think keeping the stress level low, and I think in Greenwich it might be a little tough. What we're hearing is there isn't like a lot of area for hand grazing and stuff. So it's trying to keep them out of their stalls, just to keep them happy on grass, sounds like it might be on the tough side. But until we actually make it to the venue and around, I'm not entirely sure.
And as a groom, what is one of the best things about doing the big championship?
I think being part of the team and, you know, getting, I mean, obviously some of these grooms I've been with for the last 7 years at various shows or team events, but just hanging out with them for as long as we do, you know, get to know each other more, and they then become lifelong friends. And then for me personally, I get very, I'd have to say emotional at these events, because you're so tied up. You have so much of your life tied up into these horses, and you just want them to produce the best. So you yourself, I get very emotional with the event, and I think that's a good thing, you know.
I completely understand. Do grooms have traditions like the riders all swap pins and things? Do grooms do the same thing?
Yes, we get given all the pins to trade around with other grooms, and many of us, like, depending, we get team clothes to wear for the team, and some of us will, like, try and trade shirts and that, so we get different countries' shirts. And then normally someone from the team will have a go at getting another country's flag to take home.
But thank you so much, Emma, and I know that we'll all be watching and listening and waiting with bated breath to hear how it all goes, and we'll be cheering you on silently. So thank you very, very much, and best of luck, and enjoy it. Get the flags, get the pins, get everything you can, and we'll
awesome.
Speak to you soon, and we'll see you back.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Emma. Best of luck. Well, many thanks to Emma. That was fun. My mind is reeling. They have between 30 and 50 horses in their yard. Can you imagine that, John?
And I think actually this sort of time going away completely blows their minds, because they don't have 30 to 50 horses to deal with every day. I mean, sometimes you see people at a 3-day event when they have the one horse and they're miles from home, and the poor horse gets ridden so many times that day because they don't know what else to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're going to start wrapping up, and in a little bit of a departure, my Twitter of the week is also our short format of the week today. My Twitter of the week is an amateur rider who's also an actor. He lives and works in the middle of London. He's about not even a couple of miles from the Greenwich, where the equestrian venue is for the Olympic Games. His name is Gavin Makeson, and his Twitter handle is @GJMEventing. And I spoke to him, I caught up with him at Talland, where he brings his horses a couple of times a month to have lessons. And he's got a couple of tips for us about riding on the flat and jumping your horse. Gavin, welcome to the Eventing Radio Show. And we talked before for the Eventing Nation and got to know you a little bit. You're a working rider. You work in theatre and acting, and you have some news background with the BBC. You have two beautiful horses who are related but very different personality types.
I do indeed. All of that is true. So, yeah, I've got two horses at the moment. One 9-year-old, Oliver Cromwell, who's just hopefully about to go advanced. And I've got his younger brother, Oscar Wilde, who's just 6. Both very talented. Both very similar in some ways and quite different in others. One relatively straightforward and one quite difficult.
And the 9-year-old advanced, they're both tall, they're Irish sport horses.
Yeah, they're both British bred Irish sport horses, bred in Lancashire by the Howard family, who I think have bred a few four-star horses before.
So Oliver Cromwell is a slightly more relaxed, laid-back one?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say they're both tall, scopy, leggy horses. But Oliver tends to be on the back foot, whereas Oscar tends to be on the front foot with energy. So with Oliver, he puts up with a little bit more pressure before he finally reacts, and then the other one tends to react much quicker without any pressure. So.
And what's a little bit unusual for an eventer here in England is you are based in London.
Mm-hmm, I am indeed. I'm based at Lee Valley Riding Centre, which is, I think it's only 4 miles away from Oxford Circus, just between Hackney and Leytonstone. I think it's probably 2 miles, no, less than that. It's probably 1.5 miles from the Olympic Stadium.
Wow. So you, how big is that Lee Valley Riding Centre?
The riding centre itself, I think we have about somewhere between 70 and 80 horses, and I think it's on a 30-acre site. But it's actually part of a much bigger park, Lee Valley Park, which is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres all the way from Canary Wharf up to Hertfordshire.
And do you have access? I mean, can you hack on that?
We have hacking over about 30, 40 acres outside of the riding centre. It's very busy with dogs and dog walkers and all sorts of kite flyers and all sorts.
So you can't go galloping merrily alone?
We're not allowed to gallop, we're allowed to canter.
Okay. Do you get speeding tickets?
I don't, but I know some people that in the past have tried to event and have been out at 5 a.m. flat out before the light comes up, just trying to get a gallop in there.
So what? How do you manage in an enclosed facility like that?
To be honest, it's very easy up to kind of novice level. But we're very lucky in that we've got a big flat field at the back of the stables, which is part of the riding centre, so we can go up to whatever speed we want to in there. And I just tend to do big figure of eights or circles around there. And then as I've got up the levels, if I know that I've got an event coming up that's the particularly hilly, I know I'm going to have to take one of them out somewhere that has got some hills. And I'm very lucky, and actually London doesn't seem the obvious place to keep a horse, but within an hour's drive, you're completely spoiled by places for horses.
Yeah. And you come down here, we're at Talland now, you come down here several times a month to school, dressage and jumping with Charlie Hutton and Jerry Sinnott?
Yeah, I work with Charlie and his mum Pammy as well, and I tend to try and get here once a month or once every 2 months, and Charlie comes to us once a month in London as well, and Jerry helps me as whenever I can get here.
Give us a couple of exercises, if you don't mind, that you work on, that you take away with you.
Well, last week we've been trying to put the half pass back in Oliver, so we spent a lot of time just... He finds it difficult to get his inside shoulder up, so we've been focusing a lot on keeping the bend, and then so you'll come across from long side to long side in half pass, and then just to encourage him to keep the bend, you'll go into the short side in Ronver, and then do a half 10-meter circle right, and then you're in Travers. So it just continually keeps the horse in the same bend, and then you'll come along and repeat the exercise. That probably doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it does. And what about jumping? Is there one jumping exercise that you'll take home with you?
Today with the young horse, we've been working on very much just keeping in a rhythm and keeping rolling on. So we've had 3 fences on a 40 meter circle and then 1 fence to change the rein. And it's just about keeping exactly the same pace, exactly the same rhythm, not hooking, not editing, letting the horse lock onto the fence and find its own pattern and just not interfering.
Do you find it hard working on your own, staying motivated and...
I don't have issues with motivation. I do wish I had a better eyes on the ground at home. But equally, I'm very lucky that I can train a lot. And I've got a limited number of horses, so it's quite easy just to up sticks and bring everything here for 3 days and then take it back with us. But I do wish I had better eyes on the ground at home.
Okay. Well, best of luck. And I think we're going to be following you via a blog on Eventing Nation pretty soon. We look forward to that. And thanks very much, Gavin.
Thank you very much.
I just want to point out, thank you first of all to Gavin for his tips, and he is my Twitter of the week too. And I also want to point out that there were he has 3 beautiful dogs, or maybe it was 2, I can't remember, I'm missing cat, but that was the dog slobbering in the background. That wasn't me panting all over him.
even though
he's a male model as well on the side and very handsome. So that's my Twitter of the week. And my horse of the week is all reserve horses who are fit as fiddles and ready to run and all very special in their own right. And I feel for them, I feel for their riders, and they're my horses of the week.
My Twitter of the week is a guy called @BBCSport_Ollie. And Ollie has been on the equestrian beat now for probably about 6 years, along with a number of the other, I think the BBC would describe us as fringe sports. So he really comes into his own near the Olympics. But Ollie gives great Twitter coverage of what's going on in our sport. Ollie Williams, he is @BBCSport_Ollie, O-L-L-I-E. And you can catch up with what he's covering on equestrianism and the other sports he looks after during the Olympics. And my app this week of the week is the London 2012 Results app. If you're out and about and you've got a smartphone, get the London 2012 Results app on it. Go into your app store, search for that exact title. You'll find it, and we'll give you a constantly updated medals table and results as they come in. And you can set the equestrian events as favourites so that they're the ones that really shout when the results come in, if you happen to be on the road when any of the medals are awarded.
Brilliant. And John, how much tweeting will you be allowed to do from the Games?
Well, in theory, none, because a tweet is a mini blog and accredited personnel are not supposed to blog. Athletes can and groups can. I don't know how they're going to police it. I'm going to do it until I get into trouble.
Brilliant. So we'll keep following you then.
I'm also going to be a bit naughty, Samantha, and have a magazine of the week. After last week's Horse and Hound Olympic preview, this week on Thursday the 26th, they'll be releasing their Olympic immediate preview. I don't know what exactly they're going to call it, but it's the one we've spoken about before, with the pull-out guide to all the runners and riders as they were last Friday. So there have been a couple of changes with Shane Rose and Taurus and Meredith Michaels Beerbaum coming onto the show jumping team, amongst others, and whatever the result is of the South Africa. But in essence, you will have a full program of the runners and riders that you can sit at home with your TV, mark your scores, read the bios, and impress your friends with facts.
Ooh, and then keep it forever, and then bring yours on when we get you back as well, and then you can look at it when we talk about it. I'll second that. That's a very good endorsement. Thank you, John. Next week, we're going to have detailed analysis of all the action from the London Olympic Games. I might have some special guests with me instead of you, John, because I know you're going to be incredibly busy. We're also going to have Dr. Laura Werner back with our part two of preparing for the three-day event, and much, much more, of course. Thank you, though, to this week's guests. That's Samantha Albert. Good luck to you, Emma Ford. Good luck to you too. Shannon Quigley, congratulations, and Gavin Makerson. Please visit our homepage for links to their various websites and social media. You can subscribe to the Eventing Radio Show via iTunes to make sure you don't miss a single episode. Please check out our Facebook page too, and just look for the Eventing Radio Show. You'll find us there. You can follow John on Twitter for as long as he's allowed to tweet, @JohnKyleSpeaks, and I'm @SamanthaLClark. I have no restrictions because I'll be watching at home on telly. You can also follow Horse Radio @HorseRadio. You can contact me by emailing me @Samantha@HorseRadioNetwork.com or John@John@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Please do support our sponsors at Bit of Britain, Kentucky Performance Products, and Draper Therapies. They make our show possible. Thank you for listening. Have a safe week. Keep in touch and do enjoy the Olympics.